Merry Christmas, happy holiday seasons, greetings and blessings to each and every one of you from all of us here on the Sports Fix. Remember the true spirit of the season. We wish each and every one of you nothing but the best holiday. Enjoy your day and enjoy this very special best of the Sports Fix.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
Come see three-time WWF champion Mick Foley at the Cleveland Improv Comedy Club and Restaurant located right next to Shooters on the west bank of the flats. For more information and tickets to see the hardcore legend, call 216-696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677. Or go to their website, clevelandimprov.com.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
Hey, it's Hugh Hewitt, and when I want to know what's going on with the Cavs, the Browns, and the Tribe, I tune into Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Sports Fix. Another beautiful Tuesday, and I'll tell you what, we have a Where's my thesaurus? Charles Morgan sent me here. We have an absolutely filled to the rafters. That's right. Overflowing standing room only edition of the Sports Fix today. Of course, we continue looking for those synonyms for jam-packed. We're going to have fun with that. See how many days I can keep it going. This is day four of the synonyms. And of course, welcome into the Sports Fix. I'm your host, the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers, welcoming each and every one of you in, no matter how you're listening to the show, on Mixler, on Spreaker, on iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever it is, or right here streaming live from thesportsfix.net every weekday at noon, wherever and however you join us. Thank you so much. And today, I told you guys it wasn't going to be a live episode as I'm not in studio, but I spent the last, six, 7 hours getting this bad boy ready for you today. I dug deep in the archives. It's getting harder, too, because all the good stuff has been, it's hard to unearth some new treasures, but I did just that, digging through. Browns fans, young and old alike, are going to really appreciate today's Best of the Sports Fix because I got a couple of classics. And you know what? Speaking of Charles Morgan and speaking of the synonyms, he's a listener of the show, a great supporter of the show. We have so many people. I mean, really, that's not fair. I could use that term for dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens. Well, actually, that many dozens equals hundreds and thousands. But I could use that term to equal each and every one of you guys. But, you know, speaking specifically about Charles, a few weeks back when we were looking for some ideas for the holidays coming up and for some different themed shows that we can do for these best of episodes, Charles gave me an idea. He said, hey, you should go back and play the first show you ever did as a host. And I said, okay. So I started looking in that direction through the archives, but I did you one better, Charles Morgan, because what I've put together today, this is back, let's see, the date would have been, this was February 5th of 2011. It was actually the eve of the Super Bowl that year. And this is, it's not my first Sports Fix episode. I had been a part of the crew for off and on for a few years there, in and out, and it was a multi-person crew. And even through my first few years with the Sports Fix having a co-host, but February 5th, 2011 was the very first night. Well, they made the biggest mistake in the world, I guess. They opened that studio for me by myself. I went solo. I had my producer Yoda in the house and we went solo. It was my very first time hosting the show by myself. And it really was a huge night. We joke about chock full and jam packed and all of that. But it really was an absolutely loaded night that night because it was the night before the Super Bowl. So I had dug in my bag of tricks and I said, well, man, I want to impress management. I want to come out here, boom, both guns blazing. So I lined up three football players, not just football players, but three pieces of the Browns, especially that late 80s, early 90s period there. And it was the anniversary of the 85 Bears. And so I went dug that way. I went and dug out a couple. I went and talked to Jay Hilgenberg, which you're going to hear here, which you might remember from those Monsters of the Midway. And of course, he spent a little bit of time near the end of his career here in Cleveland under Bill Belichick. Talked to Jay Hilgenberg. I'm going to bring you that first. Then we followed that up with my man, and really, to this day, one of the greatest people we've ever had the privilege of talking to here on the Sports Fix, Herman Fontenot. You guys remember Herm played a big part, a key part, in some of those really fun late 80s playoff teams. And Herman Fontenot, not just a big part of the Browns on the field, but a big part of our community here in Northeast Ohio. Ever since he migrated his way up here from down south, he really adopted the Northeast Ohio area, and you're going to get to hear that because Herm, great story, great interview. And then we'll cap it off with my man, the Babarian himself, Mike Babb, famous center from those same late 80s dog pound Browns, and really the heart of that offensive line that at one point had kept things together for that offense and Bernie Kosar. And a lot of people will point to the loss of Mike Babb when they allowed him to leave that led to the holes in the offensive line that eventually led to Lloyd Burris busting through on Bernie Kosar, the injuries that just began to pile up and eventually led to Bernie Kosar's demise here as the Cleveland Browns quarterback. So that's what we've got on tap, Daddy. I told you, it is going to be a congested, consolidated, crowded day. See, Charles Morgan, I'm using that thesaurus more and more, but really going to be a huge show. Hopefully you guys buckle in. No phone lines today, although if you want to leave us a message about anything you hear on today's show, give me a call, 216-539-7535. Leave your number and your city and where you're calling from. I'll make sure I can play that for you on the air and check it out. And hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle, and we'll read those comments throughout the show and off the air. Talk to you more about that tomorrow. And speaking of you guys and Facebook and Twitter, this show right here, I'm going to need you. If you like what you hear, especially Browns fans, this is digging in the archives, and I know that this is going to hit right in the heart. You know, talk about Ryan Ruiz bleeding brown and orange and all of that, but this hits right in the heart of Browns fans everywhere, because this is that era that really captured young fans, old fans. This is what a lot of us still hang our hats on with what we've seen since 1999. So reach out, somebody. Hey, what do I say all the time? Each one, reach one, teach one, baby. Reach out today. Send us some love. Send a plug out on Facebook and Twitter. Tell somebody else to tune in. Say, hey, if you know a big Browns fan, say, hey, you got to get here, Daddy, because J-Rock is the man. Today, they're talking to Herm. They're talking to Mike Babb. They're talking to Jay Hilgenberg. It's a great show. Get them in. Lure them in. Plus, don't forget, make sure you tag us while you do it, and you'll get a chance to win a T-shirt next Monday. Perfect in time for Christmas, courtesy of the Sports Fix right here on the show. So tweet us out. Facebook us out. Tell somebody else to tune in. We appreciate it. And, of course, we appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to jump right into it. I'll be back here to talk to you in just a little bit, but let's jump into it now. Let's kick things off. You'll hear a little Super Bowl shuffle here playing in just a second. It was the eve of the anniversary of the 85 Chicago Bears, and there was some things they were getting together at that time, and we got a chance to talk to former Bear, member of that Super Bowl team, and member of the Cleveland Browns offensive line late in his career, Jay Hilgenberg. Let's throw you to that. We have only just begun here on the Sports Fix. Welcome in. Buckle up. Let's have some fun.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew. Shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good. Blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix. That's right, we're doing the Super Bowl Shuffle, the 85 Bears Super Bowl Shuffle. Yoda's shaking his head. He's not even old enough to know where this came from, but I'm looking for my Jim McMahon sunglasses as it is. Of course, this song was made in 1985-86 to celebrate the team that would go on to win the Super Bowl that year.
The Bears.
No, if you're going to do it right. The Bears. The Bears.
The Bears.
Close enough. The Chicago Bears, one of the most dominant Super Bowl champions in history. And our next guest, of course, on the eve of the Super Bowl, we might as well
He was also a former member of the Cleveland Browns for a year. In 1992, he played here, but from 1980 to 1991, he was a seven-time Pro Bowl player for the Chicago Bears and played on that 85-86 team. Jay Hilgenberg on the line, I do believe. Yoda. Yoda's got 16 things going on. Mr. Hilgenberg, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Thanks for sticking with us. This is just, it's one thing after another. We're trying to get to everything, but glad to have you on. 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl in 85-86.
Right. Well, I'm happy to be on, and it's amazing. It's been 25 years, and nice talking to Cleveland. I miss Cleveland. I tell you, that 92 season, we didn't win as many games we'd like, but I tell you what, I look back on my career, and that was a very enjoyable time there in Cleveland. It was a great place to play football.
Of course, in college, before your pro career, for people that aren't familiar, a hometown boy played for the University of Iowa and then went on to play for the Bears for 11 seasons and seven of them in the Pro Bowl, and played with the Browns, finished your career with the New Orleans Saints. But what sticks out in your head? Not like you haven't been asked this a million times before, but really, what are some of the memorable things from that Chicago Bears team?
It's just the guys I played with, just the incredible, you know, friends that I made back then, and continue, our, you know, our friendships are as solid right now as they were back then, and we're all remain friends. And I one of the things too is my locker. I was fortunate. My locker is right next to Walter Payton. So for like the 7 years that we've played together, I got to know Walter very, very well, and just an incredible human being Walter was. And it was just it was a thrill to be part of the Chicago Bears. And then really, I got to tell you also that when I had the opportunity to go to play to Cleveland, I was very excited about that opportunity too, because it was the same type of tradition, same type of fans, and the Cleveland fans, they love their Browns. And that was, I tell you again, I had a lot of fun playing there that year.
So you were here in the 92 season. If a lot of people don't remember, they were actually, it was a decent season until they dropped the last three games to finish at 7-9. But
right.
You played under the beginning stages of who would become one of the best coaches in NFL history, and that being Bill Belichick. As a player in his early years, was it still evident the coach that he would become?
Oh, there's no question. I always knew Bill. I remember Art Modell asked me after practice a couple times early after I got traded, you know, what I thought and everything. I came from a great coach in Mike Ditka, and I was totally impressed with Bill Belichick and his knowledge of the game. I think the one thing that held him back, and I see a lot of rookie head coaches this happens to in the NFL, is that they have a hard time getting their initial coaching staff together. And I think Bill had a very solid defensive coaching staff, but for some reason he just didn't have a lot of confidence in his offensive coaches at that time, and he really kind of like took control of the offense and ran the whole thing. And so I think that kind of hurt a little bit of everything that was going on. But I think ultimately, you know, he got it worked out. He got the right people with him and around him. You know, the Scott Pioli that was next to him for years, I think, was a big key. And, you know, there's a couple of people at Cleveland that I think that kind of worked against him at times, too.
Now, you were only here for the 92 season, and of course the next year is when the big blow-up happened. But in the season that you were here, within the franchise, within the team, the athletes, the players, I don't know if you saw it, but was there any sense of what was getting ready to happen with Bernie Kosar and Bill Belichick?
Well, I mean, you know, Bill Belichick is about winning, and I just think that we didn't win enough, so he's going to make changes. He's not going to ever sit idle, and you know, Bernie was starting to age a little bit also, and kind of maybe lost some of his abilities, like we all do. I could tell maybe that if you don't go out there and win games with Bill Belichick, there's going to be changes, and I could kind of sense maybe that something down the road was going to happen.
You finished up your career with the New Orleans Saints, and then you went into broadcasting with the Chicago Bears. Are you still doing their radio broadcasting?
Yes, I do. I just do a little bit of pre and post game on the flagship station WBBM 780 AM here in Chicago. But really, what I've been doing the last 10 years is I developed a golf course community up in just over the border in Wisconsin, in Packerland. I hate to say that, but in Kenosha, Wisconsin, it's the club at Strawberry Creek is the name of it. Hey, if anybody wants to check it out, it's our website is strawberrycreekclub.com, and you can check it out. It's a great private golf course, a great community to live in, and we've had a lot of nice events out here.
Definitely something to check out if you want to give them that website again.
Yeah, it's Strawberry Creek Club, strawberrycreekclub.com. It's all one word, and you can get on it, take a look at it. If anybody's ever traveling by around this area and listening to the radio right now, I'll let you come and play. So you know we're a private club.
There you go. Now, you heard the song when we came in, of course, the Super Bowl Shuffle. Would we find you anywhere in any footage of that, or did you steer clear of that?
No, I stayed clear of it. You know, I tell you, the time I caught word of that was we're flying back. Our only loss to 85 season was a Monday night game against the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So we're flying back from Miami after that loss, and Willie Galt comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Jay, you know, we're doing this video tomorrow, and it's going to be a music video." And I go, "Yeah." I go, "What's it going to be about?" He goes, "Well, it's going to be, we're singing about going to the Super Bowl." And I go, "Willie, you know, we've got our butt kicked on national TV big time, and we're going to sit there and do something like that?" He goes, "Yeah, it's going to be great." I go, "No, thanks. I don't want any part of it." So I turned it down. But, I tell you, it's amazing how that thing has stayed current for 25 years. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it really has. You know, speaking of, you know, one of the key players on that team, of course, the quarterback in that video, Jim McMahon, with his current health conditions, you know, how does it feel as a former teammate to hear about that?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen Jim, but, you know, I'm not sure. I shouldn't comment on it because I don't know anything about it, but I think Jim's okay. I'm not too worried about him. I think he's going to be all right. He's a former Cleveland Brown guy, too. He came in there after I played there. I think he was there for a year also.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The players that have come through Cleveland, I didn't remember until, I mean, we spoke the other day, and when I talked to you about coming on, it was as a Chicago Bear, and I knew the name rang in my head, and as I was looking you up to research the exact years on stuff, I see the Browns, and I'm like, that's what I remember. Jay Hilgenberg played for the Browns, and...
That hurts. So you actually don't remember me playing.
I do. No. I do now, but...
I thought that was the whole reason I was going to be on the radio, is that 92 season at center, the position I played that year.
The 92 season, it's up there, but it's not as high in the hearts as perhaps some of the other seasons that the Browns have had. But still, once a Brown, always a Brown in Cleveland.
Absolutely. You know, we had our chances that year. You say, you know, we dropped the last three games of the season. And we were right there. It was amazing because, seriously, we did not have a very good team in 92 at all. Offensively, we were pretty weak. I think Bernie was hurt at quarterback, and so we ended up having a bunch of different quarterbacks play. Got Mike Tomczak, brought him in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe Tomczak was the one that stepped in and tried to fill the void, and yet still, with 3 weeks to go, they were right in the thick of things until they lost the last three of the season.
Right, exactly. And our offensive line, we didn't have a real strong offensive line at that time. We just we didn't play very well, I suppose, those last three games. But it was amazing that we were still in the running for the playoffs. But I tell you, Bill Belichick is a guy that totally impressed me. I think the one guy out there that seemed like not to be on the same game plan with Bill Belichick all the time was Mike Lombardi. But I think he was a guy that, for some reason, those two didn't work very well together.
All right, guys, going to jump in right there. J-Rock back with you real time now, because the rest of that interview, we talked about, you know, some of the awesome modern things going on with the Cleveland Browns involving such names as Eric Mangini and Colt McCoy and Peyton Hillis. So we will go ahead and fast forward through that part of the Wayback Machine, wrap things up with where we were at. Interesting, though, seeing where we're at today, coming all the way around. Notice what he said at the end of that. Talking about Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick. Funny how he noticed that back then they weren't quite the best of friends that they turned out to be a little bit later on. Anyways, that was a good way to kick things off. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're really going to turn it up a notch, going to take it into another gear, because our next interview is not only one of the true heart and soul guys, one of those guys that you can't really measure what he does on a depth chart. You can't just measure it with statistics. He was a running back, a wide receiver. He was all purpose, but not just on the field. More than that, and more importantly than that, in our community. He wasn't from here, but he became here. He became a Clevelander. Who am I talking about? Herman Fontenot. You're going to hear a great interview from an even greater man when we come up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to a special Cleveland Browns themed edition of the Best of the Sports Fix. Do not go away when we come back. Herman Fontenot here on the Sports Fix.
This is the Sports Fix.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Hey, call me Mr. Pig!
We'll call you whatever you like, as long as we can call you a fan of the Sports Fix.
Guys, want to take just a second as we head into this break and remind you about the official business printing source of the Sports Fix, our friends at Signs and Ship. Signs and Ship, I'm telling you, Chris and Pam, they've taken care of me since day one, and they can do the same for you. Whether you're a small business that's already been established and you're looking to grow to that next level and expand your business, or perhaps you've got an idea that you just know is going to be a great business and you need to figure out how to brand it and how to promote it and put it out there, Signs and Ship is the place for you. If you need a logo, they can create one for you. They have a fantastic graphic designer. Business cards, signs, banners, yard signs, mobile advertising, anything you can think of that you need to promote your business, they've got it at Signs and Ship. The best thing about them too is each of their locations, whether it's the home base here in Elyria, Ohio, that I work with, or their spots in Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania, it's all local sourced. Very important to me because we all understand that small business is the lifeblood of the community. So check them out, signsandship.com, or call Chris and Pam today, 440-323-6060, the home office in Elyria, Ohio. Signs and Ship, quality printing at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
I've been a pro wrestler my whole life, so championship belts have always kind of been a way of life to me. But did you know title belts are quickly becoming the fastest rising and the most popular new way for people to celebrate all kinds of things you never would have thought of before? We use it for our fantasy football league. It's a really cool conversation piece. Office pools, employee of the month, you name it. There's tons of different trophies that you used to buy plaques for. Well, I'm here to tell you about Pro-Am championship belts who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championships, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like doing the discount double check with a real championship belt. Just ask Aaron Rodgers. Now you too can have one thanks to Pro-Am championship belts.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Merry Christmas, happy holiday seasons, greetings and blessings to each and every one of you from all of us here on the Sports Fix. Remember the true spirit of the season. We wish each and every one of you nothing but the best holiday. Enjoy your day and enjoy this very special best of the Sports Fix.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back into the Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net and across all of our various platforms and channels. No matter how you're listening, welcome in and thank you so much for joining us. A very special best of today as we've got the archive open. The vault has been unlocked, and today it's a Browns theme episode. As you heard in the last segment, we kick things off catching up with a former member of the Browns and a member of the 85 Chicago Bears, one of the best teams in NFL history, Jay Hilgenberg. Now, though, taking it to another level. My guest, our guest, your guest, coming up next is Cleveland's own. And even though he's not from here, he is here. As I said before, he is Cleveland. You're going to hear it for yourself in just a few minutes. No matter how much we tried to talk about football, Herman Fontenot, very quick to turn it around, put it in perspective, put each and every one of us, myself included, in perspective. I told you guys, the show that we're playing today, these are clips from the very first night that I hosted the Sports Fix solo by myself several years ago. I learned something from this interview right here. Sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. Sometimes there's more to talk about than just football. So I'll tell you what, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll let you hear it and judge it for yourself. This one, it's going to take a minute. So buckle in and sit down. Herm took us on a great ride, and now you are going to go along with it. It's a Best of the Sports Fix, Browns edition, coming up next. Herman Fontenot.
Herm, are you there?
I'm here, brother.
How are you doing?
Well, I want to make sure that you can hear it because I have you on the speakerphone on the phone, because as I told you, that I'm preparing a feast for all of my Browns friends and fans tomorrow down here at Pacers for our 8th annual Eddie Johnson Memorial Super Bowl party.
Absolutely. And you know what? We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Of course, Herm spent quite a few good years here in Cleveland. You were a part of some of those teams that came oh so close to winning the Super Bowl, to get into the Super Bowl, of course, meeting Denver both times, and we know the names and all of that, but you scored, you know, the run into the drive, a lot of people might not know, you scored a touchdown in both of those games, came up really big, kind of like the precursor to some of the more versatile H-back slash receivers. I mean, you did a little bit of everything, kick returns and running and receiving, and even threw a couple of passes there. And kind of one of the first all-around type of backs that the NFL has seen that's now become more common. But before that, great career at Louisiana State. Lettered all 4 years, went to the Orange Bowl, and then after the Browns went on, the team that's playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow, the Green Bay Packers.
All right.
What are some of your memories of those years you spent here in Cleveland?
Well, you know, I thought about it. I'll take you off the speaker. I thought about the questions, and really don't do very many radio and, you know, talk about it, because what I'm doing today is really what I'm all about, and tomorrow is people all, you know, they know certain names, certain numbers that's affiliated with the Browns, and they have this thing about their, you know, their players that they will always cheer for. And, you know, I understand. One of the things that I have a problem with is I've never wanted to go to the Super Bowl since we didn't get a chance to go. And I thought about the things that I wanted to talk about, which were more important to me than just the football aspect, because I was a walk-on, so it became, you know, a personal venture. It was more about my family than it was about, at that time, the family of the Browns, because it's a selfless thing to do to go out all of this time. It's just not about getting to the NFL. It's about all of those roads that you have to take and the journey to get there and to walk on in the NFL. To me, is you know, it's just incredible. But you don't think about it at that time. You just keep moving to the next level, from grade school to high school to college to the pros. And when they don't draft you, so what are you supposed to say, that you're not good enough to play, when
I'm lining up against people that I'm saying to myself, I'm better than the person that's lining up on the other side of the ball. Really, that's all you got to beat is that guy. But my whole thing is family. And you said we're going to get into the things that I'm doing today, but it all relates to that, you know, the Slaughters, the Langhorns, the Brennan, the Dick Ambrose, the Clay Matthews, the Chip Banks, the Bernie Kosar, Kevin and Ernest, all these guys, man, you got to understand the passion that we have, the relationship that we will forever have, is still within us. It will never dissipate. It's like a family. The things that you should be talking about and all that sports talk, I don't really listen to sports talk because it's really about family. If you're doing something for someone else, you would never take no for an answer. You would never give up because it's not for you. If you get tired, you're done. You say, I quit. You can never quit. You will always, if you really believe in family, and that's all a team is about, you will always go longer and harder for those, some of these guys you don't even know, but you see them every day, busting their butt, trying to get better, believing in me, and we're believing in one another, and that's what I got from that time. Guys that I didn't know telling the offensive coordinator and the head coach that this, me, that's the guy they want on the field representing to them, representing them as a team, and he's a defensive player. So it's a lot that you talk about. Mainly when I talk to the kids in high school or whatever, it's all about family. It's all about the people that you love, and you're going to work hard and bust your butt to make them happy. And I tell them, look, when you are playing ball in college or in the pros, if you ever get there, because you know it's less than 1%, you think about your parents being in those stands, and when that camera hit your parents, who's been working hard, probably some our job that no one gives them credit about the things they do when they're trying to supply the things we need every day to live. Those people are the ones who need the spotlight like they do in college football. And when they come like Cam Newton, his mother, that's where the camera was. Where I played to have my mother, my brother and sister and friend reap all the benefits of my effort. And I think all of us, that the ones that I got to know, that's what it was about, man. And the Browns, when they start to recognize and realize that this team is not just a team that they're getting paid to play in the NFL for, no, it's your family. And when they start to understand and build that relationship, the Browns, as we know, will then start to win because it comes to them more than just getting money playing in the NFL and you think it's all done. No, still today, we all, the guys that I play with, if I'm doing anything, they're here to support, including our judge, Dick Ambrose, and it just doesn't matter. So I don't do interviews well because all I really do is talk about relationships, and I don't talk about football, but I will. But this is what's most important, kind of like our state, kind of like our country. And if they can all love one another, we win. But go ahead, shoot it out. I want people to know who I am and what I do with my life, period.
I'll tell you what you hit the nail on the head, I think, why you were so, you know, loved by the fans of that time here in Cleveland. Because like you said, I think Cleveland's the kind of town, I mean, we all know, they can totally relate to a player that had to walk on, had to earn his spot every single day.
This is blue collar. This is nothing but blue collar. Factories and hard-working people trying to take care of their family. It's no different than me. And I tell some of my friends back in 1985, some of my boys who are still my guys from 25 years ago, just regular people, but, you know, they were making more money than I was. But these were cats that came from every walk of life, every racial makeup, every culture, people that I say hello to and has remained to be my friends and support some of the things that I'm doing today 25 years later because it wasn't about me being Herman Fontenot playing for the Browns. And, you know, you got me on this phone, but what I'm doing tomorrow is hosting 200 or 300 people that I've met really on Facebook that get a chance to say hello to me, but find out what it is that I'm doing in my life, and they're all about it. And we'll get into it more, but it affects us all. So I'm not really big on football. I'm big on people. And if you get that down, anything's possible.
What a quote right there. I'm not really big on football, but I'm big on people. And if you get that down right there, we've got something. I'll tell you what, we've really got something in a guy like Herman Fontenot. And we'll talk more about it here. When we come back, I'm going to bring you the rest of this interview, because so many times, so many athletes, I wish they all had the mentality about the communities, not just that they live in, but the ones that they temporarily live in, the ones that they make that big money in, the ones that they impact so much by being there, by being a star, by being a role model, whether they want to be or not. A guy like Herman Fontenot shows you that there is a bigger picture, and he sure as heck gets it. When we come back, that was actually just the teaser. He's going to dive into it. We pick right back up where we left off. More of Herman Fontenot and more of the best of the sports fix. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Plenty more. Chock full, baby, according to the thesaurus. Plenty more sports fix to come.
Unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
I'll tell you what, whether you just started listening to the show today or you've been listening since the beginning of the Sports Fix, you know that our thing is how proud we are to be from Cleveland, to be in Cleveland, and to get the opportunity to broadcast and represent Cleveland to the world live right here on the Sports Fix each and every weekday. Well, I'll tell you what, that same sentence could just replace the word Sports Fix with our friends GV Art and Design and have the same statement, because GV Artwork, you guys have seen their stuff all over town, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports apparel you'll ever see. Unique, original designs. Fantastic. They say Cleveland that I love, and then they put it on their chest, and they put it on your chest too. Don't forget, we tell you all the time, use the sales code FIX. Any purchase you make with GVArtwork.com, you'll save 10% on your total purchase, just for letting them know that you heard about it right here on the Sports Fix. So whether you check them out, GVArtwork.com, or check out the brand new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue, they are fantastic people with a fantastic product. Cleveland that we all can love. GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, seasons, greetings, and blessings to each and every one of you from all of us here on the Sports Fix. Remember the true spirit of the season. We wish each and every one of you nothing but the best holiday. Enjoy your day and enjoy this very special best of the Sports Fix.
The Improv Comedy Club and Restaurant is proud to present three-time WWF champ Mick Foley in a hilarious one-night-only stand-up performance. Come see a true wrestling legend and the only Cleveland appearance of the hardcore legend Mick Foley at the Improv, located right next to Shooters on the west bank of the flats. For information and tickets, call 216-696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677. Or go to their website, clevelandimprov.com.
Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is ready to serve. With the holidays upon us, make sure to winterize your vehicle before going over the river and through the woods.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Have your sleigh in top form with four brand new tires. Choose from 13 top brands. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has the low price tire guarantee. Find the same tire at a lower price within 30 days, and they will refund the difference. Improve your fuel economy with the Works Fuel Saver Package. A certified technician will change your oil, rotate and check tire pressure, top off fluids, and perform a full inspection. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is open late Monday through Thursday to serve you better, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sundays. They're located just under the 480 Bridge on Canal Road in Valley View between Rockside and Granger Roads. Mention the Sports Fix and you'll get a Quick Lane Auto Safety Kit with the purchase of any four tires. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is ready to serve. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
Hey, Cleveland. This is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
Newsbreak.
I'm John Versteeg. On Monday, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo will be out for the season with a back injury. This morning, in his weekly appearance on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones saying Romo is undergoing treatment and could be available for Sunday's winner-take-all Week 17 game against the Eagles for the NFC East. Jones also repeating head coach Jason Garrett is not coaching for his job on Sunday. NBA Kings head coach Michael Malone fed up with his team after a 113-100 loss to New Orleans on Monday night, saying, quote, "We're a bad basketball team right now." Sacramento 8-19, second worst record in the Western Conference. College football, Army hires Jeff Monken from Georgia Southern as its new head coach. Monken led the FCS Eagles to an upset win at Florida in November. It's the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl tonight on ESPN Radio. Boise State and Oregon State, our coverage at 7 Eastern, kick at 8. ESPN Radio, ESPN HD.
Here's why guys like Drew Brees, Brett Favre, and Dale Jr. wear Wrangler jeans. Because nothing beats Wrangler comfort. Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans are built with a U-shaped construction. They don't cut and bind like jeans with a V-pattern, giving you more room where you need it most. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans, guaranteed.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back into the Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net. J-Rock with you, and we are taking a journey. This is a special Best of the Sports Fix for those of you just tuning in, and we are taking a journey through some Cleveland Browns history today. We always try to find some fresh things out of the archives, out of the vault. Today, bringing you a couple of classics. Actually, we are reliving the very first night that I, yours truly, Jerry Myers, solo hosted the Sports Fix and really kind of kicked off this whole journey that led into what you're listening to now. But right now, this interview goes beyond sports, goes beyond Cleveland, goes beyond football. This man right here is the real deal. You were listening before the break, Herman Fontenot. Of course, he was a member of those late 80s dog pound teams, but more importantly, he's a member, was and is and always will be a member of our community, even though he didn't start out here. And you want to find out why, you want to find out how. Get back into this and listen. He's going to pick right back up where he left off. Herman Fontenot, I said it before, I learned from this. You'll learn from this. I'll tell you, this interview, reliving this, made me reach out to Herm and say, hey, maybe we could do some things together and reach out and try to help some people, because really, that's just the kind of guy he is. He motivates you to do what you can for somebody else. Let's take you back to it. Herman Fontenot talking about football and life, and definitely not necessarily in that order. Herman Fontenot here on the Sports Fix.
Especially when you talk about family, I think a lot of people, one of the questions that a lot of outside people have, even when it comes to sports about Cleveland, is how can they love that team, the Browns, when they don't, you know, they've never won, they've never done anything. But what you said, it's beyond just a sports team. That's why the fans still sell out the stadium 8 games a year, regardless of the record. You know, 0-15, you know that last game of the season, there's still going to be 60, 70,000 fans there. It's because it is family, and that's the spirit in Cleveland. And players like yourself embody that. I want to take what you said and cut it and email it or send it over to Berea and let some of those current players hear that, because the passion in your voice is definitely for real. It is about family, and I know that's why you're organizing what you're doing tomorrow, and I know you want to talk about that. So go ahead and let everybody know. I know you've got something special going on for the Eddie Johnson Foundation.
All right. Well, again, I do – when I go to the schools, you know, I know you have your radio station. I go to the schools, I feed the homeless, I whip my boys, Langhorn. in which we have one of the most successful golfing tournaments every year. We've got 70 forces that come out, got 36 holes, and our back steakhouse, love them, have been supporting us since day one, and they said as long as we're doing what we're doing, they want to be a part of it. These things are coming from corporate, from people that are part of our event, from meeting Langhorne, from meeting Cleo and Greg Pruitt and Tim Manoa and myself and Hanford and all these guys who, you know, Hanford at one time, that's why we got the dog, period. I tell people, I'm a part of that family, that crew, that class. Before we got here, there wasn't a dog pound.
No.
So think of this. In my life, at least, no, we didn't go to the Super Bowl, but I tell you what, they were barking, and they are still barking all over the country. When Arsenio Hall was barking, everybody barking wherever you go. Well, that was my time here. So, and I get these people that talk about Pittsburgh Steelers and this and that and other. I don't hang my head low because I tell them I didn't play against, you know, Terry Bradshaw and Mean Joe Green. All I know is when I played against the Steelers during that little time, we whipped that butt 9 out of 10 times. Now, you can go and check all that stuff out and make sure I'm right. But we were dominant in my time. We had our head up high. But at the same time, we were always together, doing something together to help do for others. These are the people that were in my life that makes me proud to be a part of the game. Now, where I get my background from and the way that I am are from the people from Beaumont, Texas, from LSU, the people I still talk to today, and I let them know I am you. Because when I talk to kids in high school, whenever I give my little talk, it's always about community. And just because your house is built in a certain community, it doesn't mean that's the community in which you live in. At the end of the day, the people who you surround yourself with, and it only takes two or more people to establish a community, that's where you live. The people that you're surrounding yourself with at the end of the day, away from your home, when you leave your mother, you leave your father, what are the kids doing? The community of people that you get together when y'all out, some of them party, some do crazy things. Well, the people that I hang out with, we're all talking about what we can do first to build an event, to help raise money, use who people think that I am, and once they get to know Herman Fonten on number 28 and Hanford and Reggie and Greg, then they get to know people that played football for the Browns. But our greatest attribute is who we are. And I'm downtown. I've been cooking since Thursday. We're going to entertain a couple hundred Browns fans, friends, people with 25 years of relationship, man. That's what gets me excited, not Browns. And wherever I would be, whatever team I would have played for, I would have still be a guy that my grandmother, my mother, my sisters and brothers, my friends and colleagues throughout college and high school, that makes me the person that I am, is the reason why I feel confident and strong about who I am. And so then I recruit other people to see my light. Because God said, don't hide your light. Let it shine for all to see, and it will praise your Heavenly Father. It's not about me. It's about other people believing and doing to help people, like the United States always doing when it comes down to some country that needs a little assistance. They're getting hundreds of millions of dollars for people that don't have any money. Well, I'm doing it at a micro level. That's micro, macro, just like our economics. So if we can concentrate, President, talking about all this stuff makes sense, if we can concentrate on how to make things better for our communities, then maybe these communities of people can give more to help our own. You know, this is the way it is.
You're
you
absolutely.
See all this on CNN and see everybody all across the country that's hurting. What? In my neighborhood where I'm from, it's the same thing going on. It's the only thing that really piques my interest. I don't do much sports talk whatsoever. If you want to know why I'm not in radio, TV, I don't get into all that. I'm just a regular cat that can bring 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 people together to some of the things that I believe in. I'm going to be cooking for them, bringing some Louisiana love. They all going to have a good time, and they're looking forward to the next event so we can do something special, period. And that's what's going on tomorrow at Pacers downtown, East 12th Street. Eddie Johnson, the Assassin Bass, the Super Bowl party with Coors Light. That's what I'm doing. Anything else, I don't need to be someone special. I don't need to be a highlighted, autograph signing, ex-football player. I know what God has given me. I'm going to utilize it. I'm going to make a difference. And what everybody else wants to think about athletes and what they do with their time, their money, this and that, and nothing, they need to think about themselves, make a difference, and be a part of something that's positive. Period.
I'll tell you what, Herman, you know, you speak about community, and you're one of those players. A lot of people say it, but you've done it. You did stuff with the school board. You've stayed here local when a lot of people move on. And again, the stuff you do with the Eddie Johnson, the golf tournament, your Super Bowl get-together, all those things show that you're not just a man that says it. You go out and do something about it. And
right.
That's something to look up to.
I always had people, especially when I went home to Texas. I was home for 6 months. My brother-in-law said to me, and all the things that I'm doing, I was meeting him and talking to him, all the things that I'm doing, he says he doesn't know anybody that's doing things like that. What, really? Well, you know me. And within 6-7 months of being home, I really haven't been there in 10 years, I'm out there feeding, home, working with the Little League football. These are the things you can do, but you got to want to do them and look for it. People look for trouble. You look for work. You look for money. What do I look for? People like me that can come together, put their heads together, and just all they think about is raising money, bringing people together. We don't get all of your money. That's why you get $200-$300 and get dollars, and you do it. And at the end of the day, when I lay my head down, I got a smile on my face. I'm exhausted, but I'm telling you, man, there's nothing more gratifying than me feeling like I've done all I can. And I'm telling you, the little $60,000 or $70,000 I was making 25 years ago, that's gone. But my life is rich and full, period. I'm not saying that, you know, you have those crossroads. I'm going through this with my 17-year-old son. A crossroads is going to happen. But as long as you think about doing something for other God, it's going to take care of you, period. And every time I go through those stages where I tell my story when it's cloudy out, at the brightest part of the day is during the summer and sunshine, and sometimes I feel like it's cloudy, and I can't do anything. I can't really make the money that I want to make. The last 5 companies I worked with shut down, so we know that's the economy. Not even too much you can do, but it doesn't stop me from doing what I think is going to give me energy, and I don't worry about it. And next thing you know, I'm taken care of, period. And my friends, boys, guys, girls, whatever, I love them all, and I cook for them. I love them, and I just want them to know, if you're going to be a friend of mine, here's the things that I like doing. You can help by doing this. Show up. Participate. You might like it. Tomorrow, 200 or more will be here, and I'm going to get on that microphone and say thank you. I'm cooking for them all personally. I'm going to make sure they have a great time, and they're going to come back once again the next time we do something. Those are the things that I talk about. Stats, football, it was a blessing. It was given to me. A higher power. I take it at that. I don't utilize it to do something or to be a person that other people perceive me as being. You hear it every day. They're always talking about athletes, but, you know, realistically, there are people out there that are not athletes making a whole lot of money and doing some bad stuff to people that is not cool. And that's what's wrong. The power is in the wrong hands. It should be in the hands of the people. It cares about the people. I'm no politician. I'm going to do what I have to do, and I'm going to make a difference. Football talk, we got people out there that can't eat. And we're out here playing professional football, making millions. I don't get down on and talk about the guys making a heck of a lot more than I ever made, but I said it was good for me at that time. I made the team. I did well. Kicked butt. I had great relationships. I met guys. And one of the things I always said, what I really love is I didn't grow up in a family that had the mother and the father in the home reading to you, going over your homework. No. My mother worked 3 jobs, raised 3 kids. That's what it was. So it was a hustling and bustle from day one. But it was my girl. My mother moved up here to 1986. Didn't know I was going to make the team the following year. Got to remember, walk on. Didn't know. But ever since then, she's been here in Cleveland. tired of 20 years of getting a job here. She's happy. The brother of putting him through college, got his master's, working at my old high school, assistant head coach. Sister got two kids, living good, and where we come from. Those are the things that people don't know that makes me strong enough to be who I am. And my name is Sean. Brother.
I'll tell you what, man. It was a pleasure to hear from you. You are definitely somebody active out there in the community, and the young guys need to look at guys like you and see how you're supposed to act and be responsible. When you've got a little bit of a name and a little bit of a following for your athleticism, you're using it beyond the field to make life better for other people, and that's fantastic. I'll tell you, Herman, anytime you've got something that you want to let people know about, give us a call, and we will gladly let you talk anytime you want. We appreciate you joining us, of course.
Well, what are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Just watching. I heard there was some football game on TV. I don't know.
Well,
I was going to check it out.
Come on down. Bring your staff. I'll cook for you. Put your table. You see what's going to come out here and be a part of it. And then once you see it, it's not me talking about it on the radio. Once you see the things that are going on, then maybe you would get more involved. I'll get Hanford on there, Kevin Mack on there, Langhorne on your show. You're trying to build the show, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So if you want to build the show, get your butt down here, say hello, shake some hands, be cool like I think that you are, because I know I got your email maybe 2 weeks ago, and it popped up yesterday. I said, okay, cool, but I've been busy, and I told you. But I'm here. But you got to get to know these people so you don't have any cold calls. You get to know these people, then they know you as a friend, and you got to have intention. Your intentions should be positive. And thinking that, well, hey, you can have them on the show. I can get them all on the show, the people you think, bring in all of them, but you got to be with me.
I'm with you, and I'll tell you what, I will definitely give you a call after the show.
You're on the radio, so if you don't come, and next time I talk, I'm going to let your fans know. Oh, it's going to happen. I got 1,100 tomorrow, 850 tomorrow. I'm doing a big board, roller, and they all call me. I know these guys, but they're the ones who help me do the things that I do because I do it on their show. They don't charge me because I'm out here working for somebody else.
All right, gladly, love
to be a part of.
You got me where you want me. It looks like the Sports Fix is going to check out Herbert Fondo's shindig tomorrow for the
big game.
Fantastic.
Right. Bring your camera. Take some pictures. You will see how incredible the cultures of people will come together. The black, the white, the Italian, the Spanish, the Puerto Rican. Everybody will be here. In my blood, that's my family makeup. Fontino. You would never meet another brother named Fontino. So behind that, it's all about people. I don't have a one-sided look at a race. I only have a view of people. Now, put that in your notes. And you could be an asset to what we're doing and get firsthand interviews or whatever from the people you're trying to get. But you got to do something to get it. You call me and I'm doing it. And I'm cooking my butt off of. I'll be all night doing it, but look, brother, you call me, and I can be a part of helping your show become even better. But you got to give. That's how you get your grace. Well, understand
it. That sounds like a deal, Herb. And as I said, reliving this interview made me reach out to Herb. I'm looking forward to seeing what else we can do to help somebody else and see what we can do. As he said, that is how you get your grace. But really, not just good memories of football, great memories of football. That was a great era, especially compared to what we've gone through since 99. That was the glory era. I know for me, I was a pig in a blanket back then. I was as happy could be growing up because the Browns were just good every year. I feel sorry for my son and people his age and pretty much everybody under the age of 21 that doesn't get what the Gaga's all about. Herman gets it, and he also gets that it's not just about football. When you come into these communities, you put your hooks in, you sink in, you can make, not only can you make a living, not only can you make some money, but you can make a difference. And all cliche and cheesiness aside, that's what Herman Fontenot is all about. I would take a million guys like that playing on my teams and living in my community. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I guess as you'd say, the main event. We've set the table. It's just building little, and then we've set the stage. Coming up next, man, you remember Babs Barbarians? Well, we're going to talk to the man who set that up. I mean, do you remember the Barbarian with the Conan the Barbarian thing? And that was kind of our, you know, mid-80s kind of thing. Anyways, this guy was not only the heart and soul of the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns at that time in those 80s teams, protecting Bernie Kosar, but he was also very integral when it came to labor relations. He was a part of not one but two strikes and talked about the differences between those. He talked so many different things. Really, really intriguing interview here. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. And he enjoyed getting to come back and reminisce with both the radio airwaves and the listeners here in Cleveland. You're going to get a kick out of this. Coming up next, Mike Babb, the Babbarian, here on the Sports Fix as we continue to relive my first night, my first solo night. What a night it was. Herman Fontenot, Jay Hilgenberg, and now my next guest, Mike Babb. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the best of the Sports Fix. Come on and shake it till you break.
We here at the Sports Fix are very in-depth when we interview the sports stars.
Oh, I saw the whole thing, dude. First you were all like, whoa, and then we were like, whoa, and then you were like, whoa. What are you talking about? You got serious thrill issues, dude. Awesome.
Maybe not, but you should still listen.
As we head into this break, I just want to remind you the Sports Fix, proud to be partners with Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, Ohio. Bill Hershey and Bill Opelich, I tell you about them each and every day. They'll take care of you. Number one, huge Cleveland sports fans, but they're good people, hardworking people, trustworthy people. I don't just come on here, I tell you this all the time, I don't just come on here and talk about places and people that want to buy advertising on the show. I talk about people and products that I believe in, and Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is one of those places. Whether you've got a truck, car, van, commercial vehicle, big or small, it doesn't matter. They'll fix them all. They're the home of the low price tire guarantee. Find a matching set of tires cheaper anywhere else, and they'll match the price guaranteed, no questions asked, no matter what it is. Hey, and they understand in 2013 that there's transportation issues. People need to get to school, to work, to daycare. All those things need to get done, and the car needs to get fixed, and they'll figure out a way to make that happen for you. Check them out, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck, and find out that life really is better in the Quick Lane.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, seasons, greetings, and blessings to each and every one of you from all of us here on the Sports Fix. Remember the true spirit of the season. We wish each and every one of you nothing but the best holiday. Enjoy your day and enjoy this very special best of the Sports Fix.
Welcome to the stage, the hardcore legend himself, Mr.
The Improv Comedy Club and Restaurant is proud to present three-time WWF champ Mick Foley in a hilarious one-night-only stand-up performance.
You look like you dragged here against your will, young lady. Am I right? Better time than you thought. I can almost guarantee that. Yeah?
Come see a true wrestling legend and the only Cleveland appearance of the hardcore legend Mick Foley at the Improv, located right next to Shooters on the west bank of the flats.
I hope my wife has it. I just got an email from Stacey Keeler. And she wants me to suggest matches that she can show to GC. George Clooney. GC is George Clooney. Yeah. Do you know how awesome that guy is?
Yeah.
And my wife looks at me and goes, who's got the man crush now, man?
For information and tickets, call 216-696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677. Or go to their website, clevelandimprov.com.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Log on right now to gvartwork.com. Check out all of their fantastic designs.
And don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow gvartwork.com on Facebook. And remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
The Sports Fix is now available every day on the world's largest internet radio service, iHeartRadio. Download the free iHeartRadio app, subscribe to the show, and get your fix.
At the corner of Carnegie and Ontario,
it's basketball time at the Cube.
Have you gotten your copy of Cleveland's Finest yet? Highlighting the best moments, players, and media members in Cleveland sports history?
God, he won it! Melo hit a three-pointer on the sideline!
In-depth, personal interviews with some of the top names in Cleveland sports fill the pages of this incredible book.
Joe Day,
Fred McLeod,
Hector Marinaro.
Discussing the most intimate and sometimes controversial details of the largest moments in our town's sports history.
The Indians have won the divisional title.
A perfect game for Len Barker.
What a win for the Cleveland Cavaliers!
It's the first book written from the players' point of view, with the media that covered it and the fans that watched. Finally, the true stories are told, from a miracle in Richfield to the NBA Finals.
The Detroit Pistons have been booby-trapped.
From a perfect game to a World Series one pitch from victory. From a Wildcat High School dynasty to the golden days of the Browns, Barons, and Crunch, this book will change the way the entire sports nation looks at Cleveland.
Cleveland, you will have an October to remember.
Cleveland's Finest by Vince McKee is this year's must-have book for every Cleveland sports fan. Available now at Amazon.com, just in time for the holidays. This is your home run present.
Away back!
Get your copy today. Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Ed Doherty, voice of San Ignatius Wildcat Football, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back into the Sports Fix, everybody. The ride continues. This is a very special Best of the Sports Fix. This is a Browns-themed Best of today as we've been rolling through. Okay, it's also got another theme. We've been rolling through a reliving of the first night that I got the controls to this bad boy by myself. We had co-hosts and I had a panel with me for years, but this was the first night that I got the keys to the Sports Fix, and what a night it was. As you've already heard, if you've just been listening, or maybe you're just tuning in, but we talked to Jay Hilgenberg, former 85 Chicago Bears Super Bowl champion, former Cleveland Brown member. Then we followed that up with just an incredible sit-down with Herman Fontenot, former not only LSU Tiger, but Cleveland Brown and Cleveland community person, and now even having gone back to Texas, he still has roots up here in Cleveland. And now, wrapping things up for the day, this is, and when I say wrapping things up, I guess I'm jumping too fast because this is quite a lengthy one coming up here. But coming up next, they called him the Bad Barry, and he was truly the heart and soul of the Cleveland Browns offensive line, and a lot more than that, as you're going to hear in this interview. Is sit back and buckle in. Hey, tell somebody else to tune in. If it's your first time, you picked a good time. Here's the first part of our sit-down with the Babarian himself, Mike Babb. And don't forget, you can hit us up. We want to hear your comments. What are your thoughts on today's show? Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE or email TheSportsFix@AOL.com.
Again, I just want to thank Herman Fontenot. That was a great little segment. A real nice guy. And it's good to hear. We were pressed for time before we went into the news. But what I was trying to say is it's good to hear. You've got... Think about it. Herman, he lives here in Cleveland, but he's not from Ohio. He's from Louisiana, and he comes up here, and he's a transplanted Ohioan and really puts roots down in the community. And you've got guys like that guy that we don't talk about on this show, people that are from here and don't appreciate it and, you know, make the city look bad. And then you've got a guy like Herm. He's here just really stressing community, and he's done a lot of things, been on the school board here in Cleveland and does a lot with the Eddie Johnson Memorial Fund, of course. It is good to have Yoda back in the studio. I miss having sound effects at the push of a button like that. Tremendous. You do a great job. Getting ready to join us, Mr. Mike Babb, formerly of the Cleveland Browns. How you doing tonight?
Really good. I'm actually in Austin, Texas, standing outside a hockey rink.
Oh, really? How's things going in Texas for you?
Very good. Well, I came back here in 96, mostly because that was the year that the Browns left, and everything that I had been doing, you were talking earlier about Herman's thinking roots down in the community. I'd done the same thing, but unfortunately it was all tied to the Browns. And as soon as the Browns left town, it was like, whoosh, time to grow up, go home, get a job.
I mean, so you definitely, even though you played here, you went other places and came back. And so, it affected you just as deep, because Herman was stressing earlier that when you play for the Browns, it's not just a team. It really is a family. I mean, different than some of the other franchises out there.
Well, it was also, that too. It's also both teams very dramatically. I was lucky to play on three of them. The Kansas City Chiefs was very family-oriented. The Browns were as well. Despite the only thing that ever happened that made Art, sort of lose his coming to practice and, actually being a friend to the players and knowing things about the players was those strikes. that's when a lot of the friendliness went out of football, because the strikes sort of put that away for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
But Cleveland, the thing that was different is you could go to, a little Browns Backers Club reunion in Akron or something, and you sit with Dante Lavelle and people like that, Lou the Toe Groza, who stayed in Cleveland and have been there for literally decades. So that was the difference from college. In college, you may have known the guys for maybe a year before you, maybe a year after. But in the pros, literally, I knew Browns from the very beginning of the Cleveland Browns. That's what's cool about Cleveland.
Well, I mean, that a lot of that is the change in sports in general. I mean, players used to stay with the same team for long periods of time, whereas now...
That's because they were bound contractually, brother.
Oh, absolutely. I do understand free agency is great for the players. That's why you don't have with the communities some of the closeness that you have, because it seems like players move on a lot faster than they did, so you don't grow as accustomed to the same group of guys.
Absolutely. It's like I have, people that have told me, I grew up watching you play center for the Browns because I was there over the course of most of the decade. And that is one of the big differences. Can you imagine Ozzie Newsome playing all 11, 12 years one team now?
I mean,
no, he would play a bunch of 2 or 3 year stints, making increasingly more money as he goes, jumping from team to team, because that's how you do it.
I mean, it's really unheard of. I mean, even players that stay for a while, Donovan McNabb had a relatively long run in Philadelphia, but at some point teams move on and players end up moving a lot more frequently than they did. Speaking of moving on, one point I wanted to bring up, like you said, I grew up with you as the center for the Browns myself. I grew up in the heart of the 80s, the dog pound era, but a lot of people, an unsung thing that people don't notice is when you left the first time, I really attribute a lot of the injuries and the pounding that Bernie Kosar took immediately the season following to the changes in that line. I mean, do you see that as well? Not saying you were solely responsible, but definitely the shifts in the line led to a lot of the damage that was done to Bernie Kosar at that time.
Well, exactly. And it was, cohesiveness and all, a whole lot more than just having five guys line up next to each other to learn the plays. We were very fortunate for a while there. I mean, Cody, Danny, and I played the same three guys on the right-hand side for about 4 or 5 years. I mean, that makes good football when linemen can play together. And, our kids were womb mates, and our wives were best friends. So when they traded me, they broke that up. And part of my job was to be the one that, Bernie didn't go yell at players. Your quarterback's too smart to yell at the players. He sent somebody else to yell at them. So I was the one that would always go talk to Paul Freeman. Paulie, what's up? What can we do? How can we help you? What do you need? That kind of thing. So Bernie could go do the smart part, and I would do more of the character and keeping the guys in one piece, because you got to have somebody that does that. And the only funny thing of that Browns team, the 86-87, we really didn't have anybody stand in the huddle and be the rah-rah leader. We did very little of that. Ozzy wasn't that way. Cody wasn't that way. Even Bernie wasn't that way. So somebody had to be a loudmouth Texan, and I volunteered. When you jerk people out like that, it really seriously just throws everything apart, and it falls apart. Your quarterbacks get hurt.
Yeah, and that was evident, because I mean that the season directly following all the changes to the offensive line when you went to New England, Bernie Kosar just took a pounding and really never recovered to the form that he was before that. Speaking of his previous form, you were, of course, with the Browns when Bernie, the maneuvers were made and he came to Cleveland. I mean, on the team, of course, people knew coming out of college he was going to be a decent quarterback. But the first time you saw him, did you guys really get a feel for what kind of quarterback he was going to be?
Well, the first time we all saw him is when he was standing there announcing his intentions to force the league into making the whole supplemental league thing. I mean, we noticed right away this was a kid who was making – the league do it his way, which for the longest time and even until today, we pretty much march to the beat of the drummers, of the owners. So Bernie, the thing about Bernie, which was totally different, which, again, beyond the fact that he was really skinny, I remember we all thought, oh, my God, this kid looks like he's 18 years old. He was all of about 20. So, you know, we understood that. But we had a very good quarterback at the time, Gary Danielson. And we were actually a pretty darn good football team with Gary Danielson in there. I mean, all the way down the pipe, there needs to be lots of things said about what the job Gary Danielson did in teaching Bernie how to play and then perfectly getting hurt at the right time where Bernie can step in and take over once everybody else is good. Because if Bernie had been part of like the 84 team, that was not a very good football team. But the 85 football team had some strengths and some things where Bernie could survive in there and play as a rookie and do okay. So it was very good timing, and Gary was a big part of that.
Yeah, and then, of course, the pieces were put together, and you head into the 86, 87 seasons, and the Browns truly became the team that was one of the standout teams. And really, I mean, everybody knows, of course, the stories fell short, but, I mean, those were incredible runs, and the town really did just completely fall. Because from the 1980 Cardiac Kids, for a few years there, that, you know, it kind of went down, but then the town completely fell back in love with the Browns in the late 80s.
Well, I played with the last little bit of the Cardiac Kids. You know, all those guys. Brian Sipe was my quarterback, you know, so I played with Deacon and DeLeon and DeLaMalora and Robert Jackson and all those boys. So it was interesting to watch it change, because what had happened is that the team, Sam Rattignano liked veterans, and he liked to play veterans. As long as your veterans are all well and playing well, it works. But unfortunately, in a long NFL season, the teams that win the most are the ones that have the most of their players in the primes of their career all at the same time, from about year 3 to about year 7. That's usually when you're the best. And the more time that you have that many starters in that time period, that's when you're a good football team. And that's what 86-87 was. We went over and stole a whole bunch of good players from the USFL, and they just all stepped right in, and everybody played and played well.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, one of those congruence of the stars thing.
You're absolutely right. That's an underlooked thing there with the USFL. The Browns pulled quite a few slick maneuvers to bring some players in and really put together the final pieces of that team. And as you said, they all reached their prime right around the same time, and you had the core of a great team.
Danny Fike, Mike Johnson, Gerald McNeil, Kevin Mack.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And there was a couple other ones that we got, too. I mean, we got 4 or 5 starters, and that was one of the things, because I played on the 83 team, which was pretty good. The 84 team was not very good. That's when everything sort of fell apart and everybody got fired. And we got Marty, which was one of the best things that could happen at that time, because everybody on the team had a lot of respect for Marty, and we knew more than anything in the world he wanted to win. So he, and coming as a direct comparison to Sam, Sam was almost too nice a man to be an NFL head coach. Almost too nice. Marty didn't worry about that crap at all. You know, we knew that with Marty, if you played good enough, we were going to be in a good team. But if you didn't play good enough, he would cut you and give your job to somebody else. So it was we knew right away that it was snap two time or go home.
Yep. And now around that same time, which is kind of interesting timing that we're talking to you now, because the same thing is, well, not exactly the same, but a similar situation with labor problems is happening again. Of course, you were right in the heart of the last.
Contracts, yeah.
The union problem. So give us a little bit of a player's perspective of what that was kind of like.
Well, it depends. Now, the strikes are for different purposes. And the thing that you'll find is that strikes are – the good thing about for the players right now is that the money is so big and the pot is so big that we can't have a work shortage. We can't have a work stoppage. We got to figure it out. It's too much money. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars. So they'll figure something out, you know, and they'll just split the pie in a different way. Back in 82, it was about cracking open the NFL's coffers and letting them take care of older players. I mean, guys pre-1974 didn't even have pensions, much less a crappy pension, which is what we have now. So, you know, there was a lot of reasoning, really hard feelings on the 82 strike, because we were still pretty much, you know, in relative terms, being paid slave wages and having absolutely no freedom of movement of any type. 87, we got a little more freedom, but they broke us. As soon as they got the scab players, bam, they broke us in the strike. And it really comes down to, for most of us, it was what was our background. If our parents were union people, like my dad was a union person, my grandfather helped organize the paper unions in Fort Worth in the 30s, I was a union family. I'm going out. But if you weren't from a union family, you crossed the line. I mean, this is about big money. You know, and when you sit out for 1 week and it's going to cost you $40,000, you better think about that real hard.
Now, as you said, you were very strongly on one side, and I know they brought the replacement players in and they tried to make that move. I mean, how tense did that situation get? We've heard stories, but you were right in the middle of it. I mean,
because we did one little time. We went out and stood, I think it was in 82, because I still have the poster in my garage. It says, striking for players of the past, present, future, which is the guys striking today, the type of players they have today. And I don't want to run down the type of players they have today, but they make so much money. I think they're actually a little more greedy, and they're just not the, I guess there's just not the same kind of, you know, what's the right word, family, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, the guys today are, and that's just interesting, is that you would think it was the guys that didn't make anything. Remember, Clay Matthews and Ozzie Newsome signed the first contract in 1970, the same contract in 1978. They got them both in the first round, and they got 25 to sign and 25 the first year.
Think about that today. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys coming in, Sam Bradford last year gets, what, $45 million before he gets his first snap, before he plays his first game, you know?
And yeah, good for him. They're just paying him back for college. That's all they're doing. And look at him, and now he's really good. So, you know, occasionally that works. But it's I call Cody. Cody Risen lives here in Austin, too. And I'll call Cody and say, hey, Cody, do you see what that right tackle for so-and-so signed for? Shut up, man. I don't want to talk about it. Because Cody was one of those all-pro players, and Cody would be literally a $10, $12 million tackle now for the Browns. Heck, I would probably make $2 or $3 million. That's how much the money's gone up.
It's kind of amazing when you think of it. And I, you know what? When you talk about the different worker stoppages, I've heard the same thing, too, how the 82 one was definitely more – more, I guess, accepted by everybody as kind of, there was a reason for it. Whereas,
and we were gonna, and we were going out, and it was like, forget it. We're walking out. Nobody's gonna go back in, and we went home. A lot of us packed up our crap and went home. So, and 87 was not that way. There was very little solidity. What it is that unions are for people who make $5 a day and need rights. Unions are not for guys who make $500,000. You know, it's gonna be really hard to tell those guys, I want you to stay out this week and not make your $82,000 check. Okay?
I mean, you're absolutely right. You listen to the stories now that are out about what's going on right now, and when you hear the dollar amounts, it just makes you go, really? I mean, you guys can't work that out somehow. You know?
Well, and I guarantee you they will. Absolutely. The picture's just, the pie is too big. I mean, you look at it, I probably made more my last year than Doug Deacon made in 14. And I'm pretty sure that Tony Jones made more his last year with Denver than I made in my 11. So, you know, at this point, a lot of people tell me all the time, don't you wish you were playing now? And I say, well, if I was playing now, I'd be a short, slow, skinny center, white center, who wouldn't get a job. No, I'm pretty happy I played when I played.
Oh, come on. This is the man they called the Barbarian now.
Well, actually, it was the Barbarian. So, yeah, we had a little group of goobers called the Babs Barbarians, and they'd go to the games and dressed up like Conan, wave their little swords and stuff, and then we all go out for beers after the game. It was good times for to be in Cleveland, because Cleveland was one of the last stadiums that played the darn polka music, and you know, they didn't have like rock and roll, they didn't have cheerleaders. It was very throwbacky. I enjoyed the first couple of years of playing, and also playing in that awful old stadium, which was so full of memories with the worst field in the world. So, you know, it was like going back in time.
I mean,
to leave the University of Texas and go play for Cleveland. It was a little bit like going back in time.
Interesting stuff there, especially comparing and talking about the different tenors, the different atmospheres, the different motives involved in those two different strikes in the 80s, and even the difference in how it is today. And you know what? Now he's getting into the meat here. Browns fans are going to really dig the next part of where this conversation turns. As you heard, he gets to talking about coming to Cleveland, talking about playing in that old stadium. When we come back, we're going to pick things up with the second half of this sit down with Mike Babb, the Babbarian. He talks about the home field advantage that came with the original, you know what I'm talking about, Cleveland Browns Stadium, Memorial Stadium, baby. We're going to talk to Mike Babb about that, how close they came, how close some of those guys still are today, what he's doing, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. The best of the Sports Fix, the Browns-themed edition today, rolls on with the second half of the Babbarian, Mike Babb, coming up next on the best of the Sports Fix.
to the Sports Fix.
If you want to be my lover.
Hey guys, as we hit the break, just want to mention the Sports Fix, of course, proud to be partners with Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted, home of each and every Browns game day Sunday. The Sports Fix, broadcasting pregame, postgame, and halftime shows live in the house. We're giving away prizes, doing some trivia contests, having a great time each and every Browns game. Whether they win or lose on the field, everybody's a winner because we have a party each and every Browns game at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Don't forget as well, they've got Coors Light College Game Day Saturdays. Get all your Buckeye action there. Great drink specials on Sundays. Those hair of the dog pitchers are only $10, and that right there turns a bad day and a frown upside down. All of that, Monday Night Football, your favorite Browns players watching the game with you, and so much more. The Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. We'll see you there for each and every Browns game. Don't forget, Harry Buffalo, proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Join the herd.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, seasons, greetings, and blessings to each and every one of you from all of us here on the Sports Fix. Remember the true spirit of the season. We wish each and every one of you nothing but the best holiday. Enjoy your day and enjoy this very special best of the Sports Fix.
Have you gotten your copy of Cleveland's Finest yet? Highlighting the best moments, players, and media members in Cleveland sports history? In-depth, personal interviews with some of the top names in Cleveland sports fill the pages of this incredible book. Cleveland's Finest by Vince McKee is this year's must-have book for every Cleveland sports fan. Available now at Amazon.com, just in time for the holidays. This is your home run present. Get your copy today.
Why did I come back here? Back to Cleveland as a manager. It's more than about being a manager. I came home to a city that is familiar. I spent the first 6 years of my life here, going to the stadium almost every day with my dad, cheering for the Tribe, cheering for Cleveland. This is a town that doesn't give up. A lot like being a player, being a Cleveland sports fan takes resilience. The passion is real, the fans are real. Cleveland is a Tribe town. This is a baseball town.
Sports Fix. Who's this?
My name is Optimus Prime.
Mr. Prime, we appreciate your call. Tell me, what do you think about the Sports Fix?
There's more to them than meets the eye.
The Fix is in. It's the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's special Best of the Sports Fix. I'm your host, J-Rock Jerry Myers, thanking each and every one of you in advance of this last segment for being here with us. Whether it's your first time, long time, every time, thank you so much for joining us and allowing us to do what we do and bringing us into your home, your work, your car, wherever you're at. Because as we say each and every day, without you, there is no me, there is no us, there is no Sports Fix. Guys, speaking of the Sports Fix, we're going to get right back into it. Today, Browns theme, best of. You've enjoyed, hopefully you've enjoyed, Jay Hilgenberg, Herman Fontenot, the first half of Mike Babb. We're going to pick back up where Mike Babb left off before the break, talking about that old, let's talk about the je ne sais quoi of Cleveland Browns Stadium and all the home court, home field perks that came with that. We're going to pick that up, talk about, of course, some of our memories from the 80s, some of his favorite games and more. Mike Babb, the Babarian, wrapping things up here on the Sports Fix. Enjoy this. I'll be back at the end to put a big old bow on everything and set the stage for tomorrow. Enjoy the second half of the Babarian, Mike Babb, here on the Best of the Sports Fix.
You're right about the old stadium, by the way. It was so bad that it made it unique and gave it its, I guess you'd call it charm, you know, because...
Well, charm. Gave it that aroma. We would stand in the middle of the field, and the overwhelming smells were beer, urine, and pot smoke. That was a Browns game in 83 and 84, you know, when I first got there. Yeah, that's the way it was. And I bet you it's not that way now.
No, absolutely not. There's changes everywhere. Everything evolves. But a lot of that, too, not that we, you know, in any way condone anything of any nature, but in a lot of ways, too, that all is the difference in the culture. That's why I think the players were closer, the cities were closer to the players. It just was a little bit different. It's more business. It's more, it's less about the city you live in and more about the name on the back of the jersey. And that's just kind of a change in sports that we have to deal with.
Sure. Because you got to look at it. Most athletes today have been told their whole life they were really special. You know, and by the time you get to be over, you believe it. Yeah, but, you know, the way I look at it, it's whatever these guys can make, because pro football is about one thing. We used to say, we would see each other, old vets would see each other after 2 or 3 years and meet after the game and stand there and BS for a second. We'd all say, you still fooling them? Still fooling them into thinking you can play? I mean, I remember a guy that we saw each other on three. I saw him and he saw me, and we both had three different jerseys on both of us. So it was, you know, that's when it's interesting. It's just steal another year. You know, stay in the game one more year, fool them one more time.
Mike Babb, former Cleveland Brown, joining us here tonight. You know, you played, 5 years in Cleveland, left for 2 years, came back for 2 years, finished with the Chiefs. I mean, you had you had a nice run in the NFL, but after you were done playing football, what is this? You played in the Scottish Games? The Highland Games?
Well, we went home in 96, and I went home because that's all my wife's family lives down here in Old Main. My family lives down here, so it was strictly for going home to be home with family again. And Texans do like to go get home when they can. And my mom was a genealogist, and I'd always thought I was pretty German. I mean, Babb is about the most German name you'll ever find, and I got a big square head. I'm just the perfect German. Well, mom does the genealogy and finds out we're very Scottish. And the Scottish Highland Games is it's like the ancient track and field of Scotland, 1,500-year-old sport. You know, it's part of reliving the, you know, measuring yourself against the great heroes of old and a lot of things like that. So, and it's like an offensive line meeting room. A bunch of big old burly guys that pick up something, go, oh, and throw it real far, and then go back to them and congratulate each other and show off to the women. It's fun. I've been to the Ohio games, and you get to wear a kilt, man. And remember, women love kilts. My wife can be mad at me, and I'll just go put my kilt on and stand there. She goes, and another thing. Oh, you've got your kilt on. So, the kilt as well. And also for me, the best part is I was good at it. You know, anytime you're 40 years old, you pick up a new sport, you know, and you can win world championships and set world records and stuff, you're going to keep doing it. So, yeah, I'm pretty actively involved in it. And right now I'm starting to do my power cleans and squats again because the first game is April 2nd.
All right. I mean, you definitely, and you stayed definitely active athletically afterwards, doing some personal training, fitness coaching, strength and condition coaching. Do you still coach for the Texas Hockey Club?
That's what I'm doing here right now. It's our last game. I was the strength and conditioning coach for them. Mostly the business is personal training. I came back here thinking I was going to get into fast food, and turned out I did not want to get into fast food. It's a nice business for a lot of people. It sure wasn't for me. So I got in the car business, and I helped manage one of the largest new car Ford new truck outlets in the world, literally in the world, for about 12 years. And I retired and turned 50 and reinvented myself. So that's where the whole personal training thing comes from. I just got tired of doing what I was doing, and with the changes in the world and the changes in the economy, people weren't buying cars anyway, so why be in a negative business? You can go be in a positive one every day. So I reinvented myself, and now I train a couple hundred people a month. So I really get a kick out of it.
And how actively do you still follow the Browns from Texas?
Oh, not at all.
No?
You know, it's a shame because I guess it's, you know, when I left, by the time I left football, I was done with it. It was done with me, too. They were very nice about taking my jersey away from me. But I had lost that little bit of, you know, the thing that's required to play football. It's a whole lot of gumption, I guess is a good Texas word for it. And so by the time my football career was over, I was pretty tired of football and really didn't watch it hardly at all. Even when I was in Cleveland, I almost never went to the games because it would always make me angry that somebody was wearing my jersey. You know, even if it was Steve Everett, he's a pretty good player. So it was, you know, for me, it was, I went on to other things. I became a basketball fanatic. I used to play the Rocky River. We had a little little court out on Rocky River where we played constantly. And I got real skinny and played basketball and then went home to Texas. And really, I didn't watch Texas football much either. I got into the Scottish games, and I guess that's my thing now. So I tell you what, I honestly can't even tell you who the Browns coach is. And I bet I can't name two players.
Well, you know what? Half of Cleveland can't tell you who the coach is right now. They just hired Pat Shurmur. We're still sorting out the rubble of that one. But did you have a chance to see any of Colt McCoy from while he was down in Austin?
Yeah, I watched him because, you know, he's a little hero here locally. And as a matter of fact, I used to work out in the UT weight room, and he'd had a bad case of stingers, those nerve shocks that run down your arm. And I remember one of my old strength coaches at New England had showed me something that you could do that would make stingers go away. So I waited. I found out when he was going to work out, went out, shook his hand, introduced myself, and said, "This is how you cure stingers." And it's just an overhead shrug. It's a basic exercise, but you just have to do a lot of it all the time. And Colt, being the kind of kid that he is, did it and never had a stinger again. So I sort of have a little shine on my chest from, look what I did. You know, passing along the knowledge that somebody else gave to you. So, yeah, y'all are going to love Colt McCoy. He's a straight-up kid. We're very proud of him.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you think the Browns definitely have their quarterback?
Well, he's a lot like Brian's type, except he's much, much, much more physical. Brian had this awesome arm, incredibly accurate arm, but he had, you know, very little body. I mean, he was easily the slowest guy on the team and things like that. Well, Colt's not. Colt can smoke a 4.6 or a 4.7, and he's a pretty big, burly, well-put-together kid. But the thing that Colt does really well, and I've been telling people this for ever since they drafted him, he throws a really accurate ball. And in that nasty stadium, on that nasty little short, small ocean called Lake Erie, you've got to throw accurate balls or the wind's going to tear them apart. So I think y'all going to love this guy for a long time.
All right. Mike Babb, thank you so much on a Saturday night for joining us, talking some football and reliving some times.
Well, it's interesting. I won't take much of your time, but I actually broke out the History of the Cleveland Browns DVD, and they showed our Jets game. And I sat down the other day and watched it for the first time in, I think, 15 years. That was an exciting football game. I had forgotten about half of it.
No, you're absolutely right. I would put that game up to this day as one of the best in Browns history.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, what a great – and we didn't play with a darn. That's the thing that made me mad. You know, the defense pretty much stuffed them down all day. But the offense, we had so many turnovers and Bernie throws picks. It was uncharacteristic of us to be like that. At that point, our offense, we were smoking people, and we should have smoked them. It should have never been that close.
I mean, 6 minutes left, and the game is over. And yet somehow they not only tie it, but then pull it out in double overtime. If you're wondering why you should be a Browns fan with the team not doing as good, you watch that game, and you'll understand why Cleveland fell in love with those Browns.
And then go back and watch Jim Brown run over 14 people to go to the end zone that kind of thing. That's the cool thing about the Browns is, heck, my dad was a Browns fan when he was a little orphan growing up in Ohio. I mean, that's the cool part for me. The Browns, it's like the University of Texas. They've been around forever. They have a deep, deep, rich history. And every now and then you have crappy years, but every now and then when you get all the right players and all the right places and the right times in their career, you win. And then the whole town turns orange and brown and loves you. It's a great place to be a Brown when you're winning.
That is right. When you're winning, there's nothing better in Cleveland than having that brown and orange jersey on. That's for sure.
That's right. Greatest place in the world.
Mike Babb, thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to have you on again sometime.
You betcha. Go Brown.
All right, there you have it, folks. You heard it. Mike Babb, what a great interview. I love every time we get a chance to sit down with these guys that really remind you what it used to be like when the Browns had a team that the town fell in love with, and every day was a Brown Sunday, a victory Sunday, or at least more often than not, a lot different than what the current Browns do to us. And it was a different day, and hopefully one day that day's back there again. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this thing up for the day. Our very special Christmas Eve Best of Edition of the Sports Fix. Those of you that were here with us, thank you so much for joining us, each and every one of you. We're off for the next 2 days, but we'll be back live on Friday. We will continue with Best of programming tomorrow and Thursday, so please come back and enjoy some classics from the archives. And then join us back here on Friday live as we get ready to preview the entire weekend in Cleveland sports, but most importantly than that, go from here and enjoy your Christmas Eve. Go spend time with your friends and family and loved ones, whatever it is you do and whoever you do it with. Go have a great time doing it. Remember the spirit of the day and the spirit of the season. Go enjoy your holidays, whether it's Christmas, Kwanzaa, or most important of all, Festivus, baby. Put up the pole, air your grievances, rustle on the floor. Let's get it on. Festivus style. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Enjoy the holiday. We'll see you tomorrow for another Best Of, and we'll see you live on Friday right back here on the Sports Fix. For now, Cleveland and beyond, I leave you with this. This is Dave Hannum, good friend of the show and one of the best guitarists to come out of the city of Cleveland, Ohio. We're proud of Cleveland and we're proud of Dave. Check out his rendition of Silent Night as we take it away here on the Sports Fix. Merry Christmas, everyone.